So we're 8 days away until the first test begins at the Gabba. So let's dive into the cricket press box this morning with Lachie McCurdy from Code Sport and Scott Bailey from AAP Sport, both on the line. Good morning to you, boys. Lachie, I'll start with you. Are we any clearer, do you think, on the makeup of the Australian 11?
I wouldn't say any clearer, that's for sure. I mean, we've seen more cricket played. We've seen some cricket played on Queensland, albeit not much with the rain. So the guys who are in quarantine up there haven't really had much of a chance to stake their claim. So I guess the main one is that Travis Headlesman Khwaja battle that we saw down in Adelaide over the last week or so. And, I mean, really, they both got runs. Head obviously got a century, but Khwaja put the team first, put the follow-on in, and got a quick 550. So they're both in good form. So I think that's going to be the really interesting one, just to see who selectors go for there. George Bailey said one of them is ahead in their estimations, but I think whoever you speak to, everyone has a different opinion. Some people think when he said that, that means Head's in front. Some people think Usman Khawaja's in front. No one's really too sure.
It's a good point, and we always say selectors want to have a good headache, and they've got one here because both players that are pushing for that spot are getting runs. Scotty, who do you think has the edge, Usman Khawaja or Travis Head?
I think Travis Head, just based on the fact that he was the man who was named to theoretically bat number five on that tour of South Africa, if it had gone ahead back in March. Now, obviously, it didn't go ahead, but theoretically, he's, you know, almost a quasi-incumbent, I guess, to that role. And you have to ask, has he done enough to lose that spot? Has Usman Khawaja done enough to take it off him? I mean, Usman's done a lot of great things, but you'd think that Travis Head has probably done enough to keep it. Tell you what is a real shame is that if the weather in Queensland was a little bit nicer today and tomorrow, we theoretically should have a squad named or a team named for this Australia v Australia A tour match. And the way it was explained to me was it was a legitimate Australia v Australia A game. So therefore, we would have seen, firstly, who was batting at number five for Australia, and we would have seen who was taking the gloves. So theoretically, we should have a team today or tomorrow, but I don't know that we will because of the rain.
And that's been the unsettling nature of everything that's gone on. And now you add the weather factor, which has always been there. But we can't shy away from the fact that just a couple of weeks ago, Australian cricket and the Australian cricket squad was a completely different scenario. Now we've got ourselves a new skipper, a new vice captain. We're looking for a wicket keeper. So much has changed. Lachlan, how much do you think the squad has been unsettled by the events of the last couple of weeks?
I think it'll be really interesting to see. I personally, from hearing what some of the players have had to say, I have confidence that they're not too unsettled, that if it was someone within the squad, if it was someone who was with them during the World Cup or something, it might have been harder. But the fact that Tim Payne hadn't yet gotten into the squad, the fact that there was also no guarantee he was going to play all this Ashes series as well with through injury and fitness and that sort of stuff, I think it could have been a lot worse. Obviously, look, you're talking about the Australian test captain here, and that's going to be a big issue. But when you've got someone as well-liked and as experienced as Pat Cummins there to come into the role, and even though he hasn't had that captaincy experience, I think he'll definitely be able to settle things down a bit. Steve Smith's had that experience, and that's why his vice captaincy appointment has been very important. So I think it'll affect them a bit naturally as this sort of thing would going into a series. But I think for the most part, they'll be able to move on with life pretty quickly.
One person we haven't heard a lot from, Scott, is Justin Langer. So I'd like your opinion on this and how critical and crucial his role in all this will be, because we will start to hear from him, obviously, at the game as the first test gets closer. But this is going to be a real key moment for him as coach.
I think it's very interesting that we haven't heard from him yet, to be honest, Matty. I mean, we're now a week and a half into this scandal. I know we've moved past the scandal to some extent, but he is one of the few figures at Cricket Australia who was still there at the time of the investigation. So it is quite telling that we haven't heard from Justin yet, to be honest. We heard from Andrew McDonald, his assistant, on Sunday. No doubt we'll hear from Justin in the next week. And you're right, it is it's a big role for him to play, you know, between now and the first ball at the Gabba. I mean, Australia haven't had, I know Tim Payne hasn't been part of the white ball tours and they just went and played a World Cup, but Australia haven't played a test match without Tim Payne since mid-2017. So, you know, he's obviously been a big part of this group. I think one way or another, right, at the end of this series, it's either going to be how Tim Payne's dramas galvanised Australia, or it's going to be how Tim Payne's dramas saw Australia fall apart and what impact that had on the Ashes. So there's no doubt that it's going to be played out to be a big issue. And yeah, Justin probably, he's a backs against the wall kind of character. He does his best when that. So if he can transfer that into the Australian team, then it won't be an issue. But I think it's a bigger challenge than people think.
Still with you, Scotty. Who do you think has the gloves for the first test?
Now, you asked me this a week ago, Matty, and I was very confident it would be Alex Carey, but with every day that's gone by since, I'm starting to lean towards Josh Inglis, to be honest. I just think his form over the last 12 to 18 months has been very impressive. Ricky Ponting is a fan. We know he's a very close confidant of Justin Langer. When you talk to people who know keeping, they seem to think that potentially his glove work is slightly above Alex Carey's. Alex Carey's a good gloveman, but you know, I do think in some ways over the years his batting has glazed over a few missed chances. I think back to the 2019 World Cup, and there was definitely a couple of cases there. Both of them, you could argue, deserve to have the chance to keep for Australia, but maybe, just maybe, they go, you know, a bit left field and they go Josh Inglis. They've done it before with keeping selections. They did it with Ian Healy. They did it with Adam Gilchrist to some extent. They did it with Tim Payne 4 years ago, and maybe, just maybe, it is the case they go Josh Inglis this time around.
It's incredible how quickly the narrative can turn around. Lockie, if you were going to select your wicketkeeper now, thinking of what the selectors are going to do, which way would you go?
Look, it's good that Scotty and I disagree. It makes a nice, healthy debate, because I'm definitely going Alex Carey for that first Ashes test, at the very least. I think in terms of kind of bringing up the 2 points we spoke about in terms of what actually happens to the Australian team after the captain steps down, after Tim Payne steps down, you need to bring in stability. And I think as a result, Alex Carey makes it almost a no-brainer. He's been vice-captain of the Australian team before. He's been the sort of keeper in waiting for quite some time. He's had that international experience. And I think, obviously, he's in good touch. He scored that century in the Marsh Cup game over the weekend. And while it's not the red ball stuff, it still shows that he's seen the ball pretty well, and his keeping's been pretty clean for the most part as well this season. So, yeah, I'd be going for him. And I personally believe that's where the selectors will go, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go the other way, because I think they're both very good options that they've got at their disposal.
All right, just a final one for you, Scott. Where are we at, do you think, with the fifth test? More likely MCG day-nighter?
It's getting more and more that way, isn't it? I mean, it's funny, if you listen to Christina Matthews over at the WACA, she, you know, 2 months ago or a month ago said, yeah, it's unlikely we'll 50-50 that we'll host this test. And all of a sudden it was 90, I think she's had it as 97% chance to host it, and now it's back to 50-50. So, if you listen to tea leaves there, it probably is starting to look more like saying on the East Coast. In that case, yeah, the MCG probably makes the most sense, because they'll have time to prepare a wicket for that while the fourth test is being played up in Sydney. Hobart, Cricket Tasmania had made their case for it, but you'd probably say that Cricket Tasmania's relationship with Cricket Australia isn't the strongest it's ever been in the last couple of weeks. And, I mean, Cricket ACT have been kind of quiet on this front. We haven't heard much from them, and there is an argument for Manuka, but such a small ground. I think Cricket Australia will take the money, especially in the time of a pandemic, and try and get, you know, 30,000-40,000 through the gate every day, as opposed to about, I think they're getting 15 with all the additional stands put in at Manukau. So that's double the money. So I would suggest we'll go to the MCG for a day night test to get the TV broadcasters happy.
They've got to look for a spectacle, don't they? Scotty, Lockie, thanks for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Matty.
Thanks, Matty.
Scott Bailey from ARP Sport, Lachlan McCurdy from Code Sport. You can have your say, 0457 736 736. We are just over a week away until day one of the Ashes series.